Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, May 16, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 97, the fourth full paragraph beginning with, for the type of alcoholic, through one paragraph ending with, but we think it is not. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Vanessa G. reading the text, Penny L.C. will be reading page 164, and Dion R. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID yesterday, Thursday, May 15th, 2025, is 22,437. Or 22437. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,439 or 22439. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. Rhonda R. in Tennessee. Here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda R. And I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody, and a warm welcome to all the newcomers. My name is Terry G. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, but today I'm in Bowling Green, Kentucky. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. A personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience.
Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as a whole ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion or outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share and do this service. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 97. We're going to start at the bottom of that page, that fourth full paragraph, beginning with, for the type of alcoholic, through one paragraph ending with, but we think it is not. We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Vanessa G. to please get us started. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone on the line. My name is Vanessa G., compulsive overeater, recovered in New Mexico. For the type of alcoholic who is able and willing to get well, little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. The people who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track. Yet we do go to great extremes to provide each other with these very things when such action is warranted. This may seem inconsistent, but we think it is not. So I just had a conversation, actually, with someone about putting other things in front of recovery. And I have learned over the years, over and over again in my own experience, that it just doesn't work until I completely and totally surrender my food addiction to the program, to the steps, and ultimately to a higher power. I'm not going to get anywhere. I will always get distracted, and I will always find another thing to put in front of, you know, the work that is needed to be done in the program. And one of those things is working with others in a very strenuous way, as it says in the first paragraph of this chapter. And so what I has brought been brought to my attention this week and has kind of been running around in my head, and I'm going to share it with you now, is this idea of, well, I'll just take it from the first sentence in this reading. Little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. But I do believe that charity in the extraordinary sense of the word is needed and wanted. And the reason I say that is because for years and years, I hung out in quote-unquote regular OA meetings. They weren't big book studies. They weren't recovered meetings. They weren't, you know, meetings that identified themselves as healthy. They were meetings that didn't bring me the solution that I needed to conquer my eating disorder. And now that I have found that solution, now that I have been able to go through the steps and find a connection with a higher power that works for my eating disorder, it is my responsibility to share that. So charity in the extraordinary sense of the word, on a higher plane, is my responsibility. And great extremes are warranted, I think. It's not enough for me to sit in my house, you know, on the phone without thinking about the people who were possibly even dying in those meetings, because I was. And going back out and carrying this message that I've been given so freely and wonderfully and so miraculously here in Vision. That is the charity, that is the great extreme that I need to go to. And, you know, in the program, I have
time.
I think I'll let that go then. I'll just stop with that. Thank you, Stephanie, for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Vanessa G. What a great way to get us started. So we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any of our Vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. And I'll remind you when your time is up. So if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Nick F. in Tennessee.
Hey, Nick, I've got you. Nick F.
What page are we on?
We started on the bottom of page 97, the last full paragraph, and starting with for the type of alcoholic, ending with, but we think it is not.
Thank you.
Sure.
Dawn B. from California.
Gotcha, Dawn. And do we have anyone else who'd like to get in on this first lineup?
Excuse me.
Oh, I didn't hear anyone. I heard this mumble.
Patricia P. from Michigan.
Patricia, what was your last initial?
P. like in Paul.
Gotcha, Patricia. And there was someone else.
Nancy LJ, California. Good morning.
Hey, Nancy, got ya. All right. I have Nick F., Dawn B., Patricia P., and Nancy LJ. We'll start with Nick F., followed by Dawn B. All righty. Good morning, Nick. We need you to hit star one, Nick. We can't hear you.
Can I be heard?
You can. Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I'm Nick F. in Tennessee. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. you know, just reading this for the type of the alcoholic who is able and willing to get well. You know, I used to think I was one of those unfortunate ones that no matter what, you know, that I was just stuck. And I was stuck until I wasn't, until the food had helped me to concede to my innermost self that I got this disease. You see, I wasn't just fashionably fat. They had nice clothes and a 5 and a 6X, but the issue was I didn't want to change clothes. You know, I could get my bathtub remodeled, but that wasn't the issue. I had ate so much and I had numbed and killed my spirit so much that I no longer wanted to get clean and take a bath. So I'm the type that my life depends on this because it's a miracle. I haven't forgotten what my last bite would do to me. I don't need nobody's money. I had all the money that I could have, and it still didn't solve my problem. I don't need someone to help me kill myself by just being kind and being nice and appreciative. You know, that I call on time or that I'm doing this work or that I might sound the way I sound. I need somebody who will continue to help me get to the solution, and the solution is in this book. You know, let me see. What is it? Oh, kind for money and shelter. I think, you know, that perhaps the book doesn't do so great of a job as to tell me how. Well, it does tell me that the disease is cunning and baffling and powerful. But as far as being a compulsive overeater, you know, nobody really told me. I ain't it. When you done gave away 250, 300-something pounds, now you're going to start looking good and feeling good, and it's going to be real easy to forget. Perhaps the book does do a good job of that, and I just need to be more aware. And so I want to say, you know, given my own experience that I want to speak to, that, you know, it gets easier to forget the work that's been done. But for me, by the grace of God, you know, I was able to lay in my bed and say, I know I need to get on a meeting because, yeah, the miracle that this program has given me is that I never have to forget, you know, that I can reach out to a newcomer, because if I don't reach out to a newcomer, I will be that newcomer back at a step zero. And I promise you, I never, ever, ever want to draw a breath and relapse again for the rest of my life. So I will get to keep coming back. I can't wait to hear what the others have to say about this paragraph. Thank you so much for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nick Effen. Perfect timing. And Nick's from Tennessee. Next, we're going to have Dawn B, followed by Patricia P. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. This is Dawn B, recovered in Southern California. And wow, that was some powerful shares we've had on this meeting today. Very moving. Yeah, for the type of alcoholic who is willing and able to get well, I loved what my sponsor once told me. If the sponsee is ready, you could be sponsored by a stick and recover and get it. But if the sponsee is not ready, you could be sponsored by Bill Wilson and you would not get it. You would not get recovered. And I believe that is so very, very true. It really is between the sponsee and their higher power and their desperation. It certainly was for me. I had to get to the point where I knew this will kill me. This is absolutely life or death. And if I continue on the way that I am, I have nothing to look forward to but a tremendous amount of pain and incalculable amount of unnecessary suffering and an early death. That's all I have ahead of me. Or I need to clearly identify all of my alcoholic foods, their common ingredients, and my behaviors, and put them down 100% and grab hold of this program with all the enthusiasm that a drowning person grabs a life preserver and work this like my life depends on it, because it absolutely does. It absolutely does. This is a life-changing program, and it certainly has changed my life. You know, it took me 34 years wallowing in half measures, delusional thinking, and just not being ready. I had to get to that point of desperation when I knew this would kill me. before I was ready. And God bless all those beautiful souls that reached out to me those 34 years before I was ready. It had nothing to do with them. You know, as new sponsors, we're out trying to help people, and it's possible that we might get discouraged when people just don't get it and they fall away. But my experience was, when I was the one falling away, it had nothing to do with those beautiful souls that were trying to help me. I was not ready. I was not taking this as serious as life or death. This was not my number one priority. But it has to be my number one priority before I could recover. It had to be as serious as life or death. And then where it says about the people who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track. So the wrong track for me is when I am looking for something other than my higher power to make me feel better. And I'm saying I need this before I can get recovery. And that's just simply a lie. I need my higher power first and foremost, and that's my only saving grace. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Dawn B. from California. Beautiful. Next, we're going to have Patricia P. followed by Nancy L. J. Good morning, Patricia.
Yeah, this is Patricia P. from Barron Springs, Michigan. Thankful for being in the recovery stage. I had been away from OA again, doing a relapse. And not really at the time feeling like I was able to come back, but by God's grace, I've been here for thanks to OA and a visit for you, about a month and a half now, and it gets me to think about the last part of the paragraph where it says, "Yeah, we do go to great extremes to provide each other with these very things when such action is warranted." And I was reading, this is my first day going back to the different readings of the OA book and the daily reflections. And usually when I start out, I go by my different relatives and my children's birthdays and go back to what I had been reading and it referred to page 84 of the AA Big Book and showed me the importance of doing the steps. And I kept trying to not do the steps, thinking there was some kind of religious thing that I didn't understand. But now I see the importance of working the steps. And I just want to thank you all for being there for me. Thank you for our newcomers that are here. This is welcome. Our relapsers are like myself. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Patricia P. from Michigan. Next, we've got Nancy L. J. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Hi, everyone. Nancy L. J. in California. Super grateful today to be recovered. And I don't know. My take on this is just for me to not be judgy when I feel someone should be in a certain place and I think they aren't or I think they are and I'm asked for help and I'm like trying to figure, well, if I do this, you know, just sometimes my higher power has given me everything. Regardless of where I'm at, my higher power has given me gifts that I have used. And that my higher power, my personal higher power, is true love and forgiveness and patience and all those things that I need and want in a higher power. And I want to emulate that, not to say I'm going to open my wallet and let the money flow out to people or give my time and let it flow out foolishly, but I just try to give openly as much as I can. And I had an experience on the street one day where someone asked me for money. I gave, and the person that was with me said, "Well, you know, he's just going to go buy dope with it." And I thought, "No, I don't know that. He could be buying his dog something, some food, whatever. It's not even my business. I had it, you know. So I don't know. I might be off with this, but that's just what I was thinking of. Anyway, everybody have a great weekend, and I will pass. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy LJ from California. And before I get another lineup, let me remind you all where we are at. We're in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 97. We read the bottom paragraph, the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, for the type of alcoholic, through one paragraph, ending with, but we think it is not. And if you would like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Hillary B., California.
Got you, Hillary.
Julie P., Minnesota.
All right, Julie. Got you.
McCall F., Massachusetts.
And I always ask you, McCall, is it an S or an F?
It is S as in serenity.
Yay, I wrote down S, but I just wanted to verify it. Thank you.
Bruce E. in Florida.
I got you, Bruce. Bruce E. in Thank Florida.
You. Christina M.
Christina M. And where are you, Christina? Please remind me.
Massachusetts, thank you.
Massachusetts. Okay. And we might be able to get one more in here. Does anyone else want to add your name? All right, well, we'll see how this goes. I've got Hillary B., Julie P., McCall S., Bruce E., and Christina M. So we're going to start with Hillary B., followed by Julie P., and always a reminder to let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Hillary.
Hi, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Hillary B., gratefully recovered for today in California, Pacific time. What caught me was little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. And yet I've become aware, or I am in working this program, in being abstinent, not using food as a drug to change the way I feel. I see myself more realistically. It's not enjoyable. It's not pretty. It's not fun. But I'm learning and being taught what true charity is, and I never really liked the word that much, charity. And I relate, but I'm learning to show up and care about people. And the sharing on the meeting this morning has been so phenomenal for me. And to give of my time and appreciating as a gift that the person wants my time, and to care about the person and want their highest and best good, and be able to be a conduit for God's divine healing, love, and light to people. It's such a gift to me to be able to do that, to give that kind of charity to people who need it, which is every human being. So I don't even have to determine if someone is deserving or if they really need it or if they're going to make good use of it. Just to treat every person with loving kindness, that's the greatest gift that I've been given, is other people giving that to me in this program selflessly, and for me to be turning in to the kind of person that can give that. It almost makes me cry. And I never knew how selfish I really am. I probably still don't see to the fullest extent of how selfish I really am, but I see it more than I used to. And it's such a gift to see it, even though it's like, ugh, makes me cringe, because then I'm willing to do something about it. And the people who have followed the directions in this book have given that gift to me, including the direction in this paragraph. And we do. It's such a gift that I'm willing to go to great extremes to provide others and for others to provide it for me, this divine healing, love, and light, to practice loving kindness with every person who crosses my path is my job that I do because I work for God. I fail every day. I can't even say I don't do it. That's time. Thank you for being the timer. I appreciate it. I pass.
Thank you so much, Hillary B. from California. Next, we've got Julie P., followed by McCall S. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in northern Minnesota. You know, and I was just sitting here thinking this morning, this whole chapter to me has been working with others, and it is really trying to point out the difference between helping and enabling. And I think about a time in my life when, for me, the loving and kind thing to do was to provide assistance to a shelter so that if one of my children decided that they needed a warm bed for the night when they were out on the street, that the shelter was there. But I've learned that charity comes in different forms, and I have to be willing to help myself first before anything. And I'm so grateful for that lesson, because enabling is not helping. It may seem like it's very unkind and unloving, but I know any assistance that anybody would have given me before I was ready to do the footwork just isn't going to matter. And I'm so grateful that I know what that difference is today, that loving and kindness comes in so many different forms. So I'm grateful. I am willing to help myself today. And I really want to thank everybody who has reached out. I am right on the edge of the big wildfire in northern Minnesota, and we've started packing. And I've had so many people reach out and continue to reach out to see if I'm okay. And I'm so grateful for that service. And thank you all for being here. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Julie P. from Minnesota, and we'll keep you in our prayers. Next, we've got McCall S., followed by Bruce E. Good morning, McCall.
Good morning, Stephanie. My name is McCall, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And my first name is spelled M-I-C-H-A-L. Thanks for your service. Thanks, everyone, for your service. I don't really know that I have much to add. I just really wanted to participate in my recovery today and share in this meeting because I've just been having so much fun already in this meeting, and hearing like all these shares have just been really inspiring. But I was thinking about, you know, the reading that we do at the end of each meeting, you know, abandon yourself to God as you understand God. So at this point, for me, like, we're in step 12, working with others, and I've had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And, you know, my level of selfishness, because I'm no longer in the food, and, you know, I've had, like I said, this spiritual experience of working the steps. You know, it's like, well, how can I be of service to others? So, like, that's what I think of when I think of charity. And not at the expense of my own recovery. And I was thinking, like, you know, this may seem inconsistent. So I'm getting guidance in this, but it doesn't seem to me, and that's been my experience, that there's no set right or wrong for each experience. And then it's about my relationship with my higher power, as far as like, well, what can I give in this situation? And if I'm confused, thank goodness, like I can, you know, do a 10 step. Even this week I did a 10 step, you know, coming up against my resistance to wanting to help others and then feeling bad about my resistance, you know, but like I share it and then it's like that connection with another person, inviting God into it. I can let it go and then see the situation clearer than my own muddled thinking. So, yeah, so really, really grateful to be in recovery today. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, McCall S. from Massachusetts. Next, we've got Bruce E., followed by Christina M. Good morning, Bruce.
Hello.
And there you are. Hi, Bruce.
Yeah, there I am. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for your patience here. I'm Bruce. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered in Fort Myers, Florida. And yeah, just hearing about those fires in California, I'm just on my way to a, not a really fire, but my wife is in surgery right now for slipped and fell on the front stairs night. And so she had about 3 or 4 hours of surgery on her 3 fractures in her right foot. So, but I'm not going to eat. Yeah, I am not going to eat through that one. I've made it through a number of other ones, recovered, and didn't eat through them. So, not going to do that. Looking back on my history, food history, and history, and Overeaters Anonymous, doubt. In this program about 30 years ago, I really didn't. I was just getting started on a new business and I wasn't doing well, that well, but I didn't need a new job. All I needed was just some time and hard work to get going. But I needed OA bad. I had good sponsors for 25 years and I don't blame any sponsor that I had. Every one of them were really conscientious and really tried to help me. But I just didn't get it because I didn't get the alcoholic food part of it. I didn't get that. I just couldn't touch that stuff because I'm a food addict. And as soon as I ingest any of that, it sets off this phenomenon of craving after the allergy. I'm allergic to those products. So finally, when I got into this program, Vision, I found out about that those things were setting off that obsession and the compulsion. So I had to totally abstain from that, which is not easy when you go through tough things like this. But I don't know. I haven't run into many people that needed charity or money in this program. I have in others, but not in this one. But I'm a little hesitant about, you know, giving out any charity or money, but I'll help when I can. Mostly what I do for people is if they ask for money, I tell them, I'll pray for you. I can't give you money, but I'll pray for you. That seems to work pretty good. I've had a few people get mad at me for saying that. I've had a number of people said, man, I really appreciate it. I need prayer more than anything, you know. So that worked out well. Yeah, so this is Bruce. I'm in Florida, and I appreciate being recovered today. I pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Brucey from Florida. Next, we've got Christina M. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Christina M. I am a very grateful compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And I did set my timer, so I just don't go on endlessly. The shares have been so great this morning. Thank you, everyone who shared. And I'm just always amazed, you know, in this meeting as we go through the big book, paragraph by paragraph, sometimes line by line, you know, how every time we come to a section that I thought I knew or understand or I've read many times before, something different stands out to me. and it's just sort of the miracle of this book and of going through it this way. And today what is standing out to me is this first sentence that we read: for the type of alcoholic who is able and willing to get well, little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. And it's the get well part that is really standing out to me. And it's what's so interesting to me, and I feel like this is, it happens throughout the book, where it talks about getting well as opposed to just getting sober or getting abstinent or losing weight. You know, in my mind as a compulsive overeater, that's, you know, all I could think about was just, you know, losing weight. Just tell me what I have to do to lose weight. And I was very locked into that mentality, that diet mentality. And this idea of getting well is very, very different. And I, you know, like, you know, other people have shared, I was in these, you know, in the rooms of OA for many years, for 14 years before I, what I believe is, you know, before I actually wanted to get well and was willing to do what it took to get well. And that's very, for me, that's very different from just wanting to be abstinent or wanting to lose weight. This is a totally different perspective. And it's really, it's an this book and the 12 steps to me is an invitation to get well and to live in a totally different way than I was living, which was just, you know, trying to figure out and arrange the pieces, you know, the puzzle to be abstinent and to try and just white knuckle and lose weight. And, you know, that was kind of like as good as I thought it could be. But this is very different. This is, and I looked up the definition for well, which is in good health, free or recovered from illness. And that is, to me, that's a promise of this program and of this book. So thanks so much for letting me share, and I will pass with that.
Thank you so much. Perfect timing. Christina M. from Massachusetts. And we have time, let's see, for two more shares. Please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Laura W. from Chicago.
I've got you, Laura. Can do one more, probably. Anyone else? Well, be thinking about it. We'll
Gina,
have Laura go
Michigan.
And then. Oh, perfect. And that was Gina or Jean?
Jean M. from Michigan.
All right. We'll go with those two. We'll do Laura W. followed by Jean M. All right, Laura, you're up. Good morning.
Okay, good morning. Thank you. Hi, everyone. This is Laura W. from Chicago. I'm so glad that I got to share. I was listening and I'm driving, so I hope you can hear me. So what this is really talking to me, this is a point in my new recovery after a relapse, when I'm thinking about the difference, especially as it pertains to my life, between actually helping someone versus enabling them. So enabling someone is when I try to do it for them. You know, here, let me tell you what your food plan is. Let me tell you what your red light foods are. Let me tell you what your compulsive behaviors are around food. Versus, give me a list. Tell me what you say your food plan is and your red light foods and your compulsive behaviors. And I'll talk it over with you, and I'll question you, and I'll make you go deep, but I absolutely will not tell you what is right and what is wrong, even if I think I know. And it's so important to keep it, it's so important to keep that first and foremost in my mind, especially if I'm myself and struggling and I want someone to figure it out for me, or as a sponsor, I see a sponsee struggling, and I want so badly to help them and do it for them, but that doesn't help them. That actually enables them to continue doing what they're doing, because eventually they're going to figure out, well, that's not really a red light food for me, or that really is a red light food for me, and she never mentioned it. It's not up to me, and I have to deflate my ego so that I know my job is to help, not to do it for them, and not to let anyone do it for me. And I got to keep that first and foremost. So really appreciate this reading today and all the shares. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Laura W. from Chicago, Illinois. Next, we've got Jean M. Good morning, Jean.
Hi, this is Jean M. from Michigan, a compulsive overeater. And I just wanted, I really don't have that much to share other than I really wanted to say how much I've enjoyed this meeting and how much I've enjoyed what other people have said. And I'm still struggling. I have had lost abstinence and I'm getting it back the last maybe week or so. I've been doing better and I'm reworking the steps with my sponsor, and I'm trying to get back on track, and I just wanted to say how much I enjoyed this meeting, and thanks to everyone for their shares and for being of service to me today. I appreciate all of you. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Jean M. from Michigan, and we have time for a two-minute share. Who would like to take it?
This is Michelle A.C. from Denver.
I heard someone from Colorado. Who was that?
Michelle A.C.
Okay, Michelle, you've got it. You got 2 minutes, friend. Go for it.
So being a good big book student, the first thing I did was look up the word charity, because I know Bill Wilson didn't want to repeat words and used a lot of words differently. And the root of it is from the Latin word caritas, which means love or affection. And so to me, that just helped me see that line in a completely different way, that ordinary charity is treating charity like a transaction, and extraordinary charity is coming to each other with love and affection, which to me just feels like, oh, that's the way that the message gets shared, through non-judgment, through showing up and telling our stories and spending time and giving people, you know, giving people freedom and a sort of direction to go to find their conception of God and work the program. So yeah, so that just defining that word for me kind of changed the whole sentence. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much. And I believe it was Michelle A.C. from Colorado. Thank you so much. And wow, that brings us right to the end. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Penny L.C., can you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.